This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning. In the studio with me is, of course, Tan Chen Lee. And from an undisclosed location is Philip C. It is 7:05, Tuesday, 22nd of March. Let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
US market, Dow down 0.6%, S&P 500 flat, Nasdaq down 0.4%. Asian markets, Nikkei was closed, and Hang Seng down 0.9%, Shanghai Composite up 0.1%, STI up 0.8%, FBM KLCI down 0.3%.
So a rather mixed day in Asia, but clearly a bit of nervousness in US markets. So for some thoughts on where we're headed, we speak to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Good morning, Joe. Now, what do you make of Jerome Powell's comments last evening? It seems that inflation is the priority of the Federal Reserve. Is that a fair assessment?
That's very fair. The Fed has a dual mandate, as you know, employment and inflation. But clearly, there's no problem with employment other than there's a lack of workers. The problem's with inflation. So Powell has pivoted to the real problem, which is rising inflation, for sure.
But what do you think? How do you think markets will react? So help us understand what's happening, though, because I'll start with fixed income. The U.S. Treasury spreads narrowed, indicating that perhaps a recession is on the cards with no soft landing. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's going to be very hard to come around to a soft landing. So what we're going to have to see about that. Yeah, the yield curve, people are looking at very carefully. But remember, and there's a good study done by the University of San Francisco. And really, the 10-year yield minus the three-month bill is the best reliable predictor of a recession. And right now, that's 179 basis points wide. So I'm not worried about a recession just yet. This is more going to be for 23, 24. Monetary policy works with a lag. So 25 basis points last week is really nothing to become and have the effect on the economy.
So what will make you start getting worried about a recession? What are the data points that we should actually pay attention to?
Well, the biggest thing is, and Powell kind of talked to this, is, you know, moving more, even more aggressively, going 50 basis points. That just sounds a little bit like a little bit of setting in a panic, that they know they're behind the curve. And the key here, if they rush too far, too fast to raise rates, then you do raise the odds of a recession in 23. But then, you know, the markets are forward looking. They'll start discounting the recession in the second half of this year. So it's going to be a bumpy ride for investors from here on out.
On equities, because it was in the red today and erasing almost all the losses, why the divergence views between equities and fixed income? Is there a correlation between that? Is that breaking down?
No, not necessarily, because we had a very good week last year in equities. And I think what's the equity market is kind of pricing in is that there's still good growth here in the United States. Consumers are spending, corporations are hiring, they're investing. So even with all these geopolitical tensions and oil pulled back, so that helped give a bid to the markets as well. But I think the equity market is looking for still, you know, say 7-8% earnings growth this year. And that could get us back to, say, closer to 4,600, 4,700 by the year end. But it's going to be very choppy. If investors can't stand volatility, then stay off to the sidelines.
So how should we read markets? What's the theme now, Joe? I mean, in the last few years, it's been very much growth. Is that still the dominant theme for investors in the U.S.?
Well, no. I would value and growth. It used to be just growth. And then the key, another theme shift, so to speak, there's less hesitancy to buy the dips. People are a little wearier now of the dips, buying the dips, where before they would just jump right in, buy the dips. Now with, you know, China and COVID having some problems, the war in the heart of Europe, the Fed being behind the curve, buying the dips is becoming less a powerful force for upward movement. So, but we think we're going to grind higher, but it's still energy, it's more value, it's financials, it's hard assets, commodities, and so forth. Think hard assets.
Okay. And because the conflict in Ukraine has disrupted supply chains, many nations, I think, are pursuing this goal of being self-sufficient and building stronger at-home manufacturing capabilities. Do you think this marks the end of the globalization era?
I think it does. It ends globalization as we've known it, where very unfettered flow of people's data, you know, across the services and so forth. I think we're still going to have globalization, but it's going to be more like carved out. There'll be Asia block, North America block, Europe block. There'll still be trade amongst the blocks, but the focus is going to be for sure on self-sufficiency within. So a lot of U.S. companies, they'll invest, like Malaysia, Intel is going to build out more capacity. They'll be investing in Ohio for more capacity, and they're also putting in a plant in Germany. So you're going to see companies, I think, you know, playing all three sides, so to speak.
How do you then make money from this, Joe? How do you invest knowing that the era of globalization has changed? It's not come to an end, but the way we know it from the 1990s to the 2000s is no longer the case.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because if I had the answer, you know, I could come to Malaysia or Bali and Malaysia. The whole key is good companies, quality companies, good strong balance sheets, good core competencies, market leaders can grow above nominal growth. That's going to be hugely important. You want to buy companies that throw off cash flow, the dividend payers, good management, because to your point, the costs are rising. And good managers are going to get paid to kind of navigate that to reward their investors. It can be difficult.
And Joe, one last question from us. And this is on the back of what happened last week, which is where the Chinese government issued some statements that were extremely market friendly. And of course, China-related stocks, whether it's H-shares, A-shares, or even those listed in the US, rallied somewhat. Are you convinced by the statements by the Chinese government? Does it pique your interest in these Chinese names?
It has, particularly big tech China, still has, I think, a lot of room to run, to grow in China, also globally, other parts of the world. So, but I don't, you know, we're always weary of, you know, the government talking up stocks, or, you know, sending out big flares saying, like, you know, buy now. But I do think the Chinese shares have been beaten up. I mean, they've been through a brutal bear market, and there's some value to investing in large cap China for sure. In the tech space.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for your time. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, basically telling us that investors are a little bit more cautious. They're no longer buying on the dips. And markets will continue to grind, and the word is grind, up very slowly. Because basically, it's a nervous one, right? Lots of geopolitical tensions and risk. Phil, what are your thoughts?
I mean, the question is, where are the opportunities? You know, he was mentioning value and growth. But, you know, the question is really, is this the time to do it, right? Because there's so much volatility in the market. And that's, I think, everyone's worry. And Joe said it very nicely, if you're not comfortable with volatility, stay out of the market.
Yeah, it's going to be challenging times, but he does say buy quality. Quality does eventually outperform. Know your companies well.
And he's not worried about a recession yet, because it was looking at the U curve. The 10-year U minus the 3 months U is not something of a worry to him yet, which is great, because I think a lot of people has been asking this question, whether we're going to be expecting a recession coming along.
Now we hear the word stagflation, not even recession. Yeah. Indicators of that is if the Feds actually start raising rates by not 25 bips, but 50 bips. Mm. I think that's when markets get a little bit nervous. And related to that is the fact that Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, he said that central banks are ready to raise it by 0.5 percentage point at its next meeting in May to ensure a return to price stability. So, markets are a bit at crossroads. So the fixed income market is saying, look, recession is here because the rate spreads have narrowed. Equity markets, on the other hand, they did come down last evening, but almost return all the deep losses in the initial part of the trading to kind of rally up. So it's like, you know, there are two sets of investors at two ends of this line thinking, where are markets heading? So I think that the issue with especially equity investors is that they still are rather cashed up. To me, the pain point comes when there are a lot of redemptions and then they have to cash up. And then I think that's when markets feel the squeeze. So let's watch this very, very closely. Yeah. But related to, I think, something that we all enjoy, sportswear. Nike, they released results. So their share price actually rose more than 6% in after-hours trading after reporting earnings and sales that top analyst expectations.
Revenue for the fiscal third quarter increased 5% year-on-year to $10.9 billion, thanks to robust demand in North America as consumers return to stores. And they also reported net income of $1.4 billion, or 87 cents per share, a less than 4% drop as compared to the previous year at $1.45 billion. And the gross margin actually increased 1% year-on-year to 46.6%.
I think the key data here is the two top line numbers in terms of sales. The first was the market sales, right? It saw its biggest market, North America, climb 9%, but in Greater China, it fell by 5%, right? I think the other key measure is actually direct sales of Nike. That went up by 15%, and digital sales were up 19%. So I think this is a classic, you know, traditional kind of retail business that actually has successfully pivoted towards the digital. And we are seeing that actually reflect across the board. Wholesale revenue fell 1%, while Nike store sales rose 14% year on year.
Well, that has been their strategy. They want to move away from wholesalers and basically have a better relationship directly with the customer, right? So they've been spending money on their flagship stores. And if you've been to New York, London, you do see these 3-4-story Nike, I would call them museums, because they sell all sorts of merchandise and you're kind of like your jaw drops. And the market loves it, because if you look at the analysts, there's 28 buys, 7 holds and only 1 sell. Consensus target price for this stock, $167. Current share price, this is before after hours trading, was actually $130.20. It was down a dollar. But I do want to caution, these numbers are before the lockdowns that we saw in China. So revenue already came down this quarter. Yeah. Will it come down even more? Because we're seeing lockdowns in key cities at the moment, which is Shenzhen and Shanghai. And, you know, basically people are a little bit more cautious about going out and spending money. And I'm not sure what is their website kind of presence in China. Is it that easy? Because, you know, there's all these firewalls in China. So it could impact sales going forward.
And Shani, you asked a very interesting question about globalization to Joe Quinlan, right? And Nike is one of those biggest beneficiaries, isn't it? Their supply chain is truly global. Now, with this whole issue across Russia, China and all that, I really wonder whether this whole theme of globalization will have long-term impact on Nike as well.
Yeah, so watch this space. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.